Hey, America,
start listening now.
Well, it's, quote, that time of the year, quote.
That's true. It is, quote, that time, unquote.
Depending on when you're listening to this at home, I suppose.
So we're going to adopt our favorite tradition, Festivus, and air our grievances before getting this show on the road. I'll air mine first. My roommate is out of town too much, and he brings the Switch with him, so I can't play Pokemon.
Wow.
That's unfortunate. Huh.
That's mean.
I don't really have any grievances. I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah.
Derek?
Yeah.
All right, then I'll keep going with this Pokemon thing. He's away on business too much!
You're good, Danny?
I'm fine now. Okay. Not my chest. Cool. I mean, it's
catharsis.
That's good.
It's a Festivus catharsis.
We're healing. It's good.
Yeah.
And welcome to another soothing episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast about Eurovision from America or else. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And we're doing our decade in review. We're almost to the end of this stupid, stupid decade.
Spotify did theirs. The American Music Awards did theirs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure at the Oscars we're going to have to sit through something like that. So why don't we talk about the 2010s?
Yeah. And until we get to our own roaring 20s, I expect nothing less. We're going to go over the last 10 years of the Eurovision Song Contest. But first, we've got some news. Sam?
We've got so much news.
Got too much news. Albania's first?
So first alphabetically, first in terms of the calendar.
First in the hearts of
Albanians
children.
In places, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so Festival I Këngës is ongoing. By the time the show airs, semifinals will be done and dusted. That is Thursday and Friday. Sunday are the finals of Festival I Këngës, and we will know our official first Eurovision song.
Neat.
Yeah, very exciting. I mean, they may revamp, they may switch language, you know, they've got some time to kind of polish that up, but like a song for Albania will be in the books, which is so freaking cool. This is like the calm before the storm.
We begin our 5-month countdown.
Yep. Rolling along, we move on to Austria. They have announced their artists. We don't have a song yet, even though we have a title, but Vincent Bueno has been announced as Austria's
singer. Favorite Kinder chocolate. The Vincent Bueno.
So crispy.
Yeah. It's creepy.
Ooh.
And alive.
Funny you should say that, Eric.
It is funny that I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's actually the name of his song.
Yeah, it's the Pearl Jam song.
Yeah.
Wow.
We will hear Vincent Bueno's Alive in March. So for now, all we can say is, yeah.
Bueno.
Okay.
You tried.
We have a lot of news from Australia's national final, though.
Yeah, we've got the last grouping of names for Australia to size their national final. Just kind of going down the list, quick little bit of info on them. Montaigne, who is an ARIA Award winner for Best Breakthrough Artist in 2016, sort of a artsy alt-pop kind of awesomeness.
Montaigne's good. Check out Montaigne.
Yeah.
It's a M-O-N-T-A-N-E.
Didiri, kind of an unknown kind of thing. I have no idea. I see a double R, so I roll them, but it's probably Didiri. But, you know, I speak Spanish, so. Bit of an unknown, but he's got this kind of cool bluesy sound, so cool with that. Jack Vidgen, who was the winner of Australia's Got Talent in 2011, has announced that he's singing the song I Am King, I Am Queen, which is actually released. It's been unleashed to the masses, so if you want to listen to that.
Is it good? I haven't heard it.
I haven't actually listened to it yet.
No. It sucks. Or not. I don't know. Maybe we'll edit that out. We'll see.
Nope.
Okay.
Yep. Diana Ruvas, who was the winner of The Voice 2019 in Australia. Name of the song is Can We Make Heaven? We haven't heard it, but we know the title.
Can we make heaven?
Can we?
No.
Oh.
That's stupid.
I usually have a song adjacent to that title in my pocket, but I got nothing on Can We Make Heaven.
Yeah.
I'm imagining sort of a Bee Gees kind of harmony.
Can we make heaven? I really need to know. Can we make heaven make your robe? Okay, keep going.
Jordan Ravi, who's a 19-year-old singer, songwriter, guitarist from Darwin.
Someone's from Darwin.
I think Well, I think Jessica Malvo was from Darwin, wasn't she?
Okay.
Yeah. So
you know how that turned out.
Oh, no.
He said it, not me. Directly.
She was fine.
She was fine.
First artist to get 99 points.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
No one's ever had 99 before.
Huh.
Neat.
That's a fun fact I never knew.
That is a fun fact.
We'll pretend that's an accomplishment.
Instead of having a 20th.
Moving on. Yeah, so Jordan Robbie's song is called Pushing Stars, written by two people who were actually in last year's Australian National Final, George Shepherd and Tanya Delgo. So good experience behind the songwriting team for Jordan Robbie's, but we'll see what he serves up. And finally, Jaguar Jones.
Yeah.
Will be singing the song Rabbit Hole. She's a Taiwanese-Australian multimedia artist. So who the hell knows what
she sounds like the coolest person at my art school. Jaguar Jones.
Jones spelled with a Z.
I know, like Spike Jones. This is just wild. I can't believe it.
I was in Boston a while ago. I was at this hotel that had a... and apparently this is named for a person or something, but they had a conference room. Just called Jeep Jones.
Man, Jeep Jones.
You do not want to run into Jeep Jones in an alley. Let me tell you. Mm. And Jaguar Jones, the son of Jeep Jones.
Daughter
of Jeep Jones.
They all sound like minor bad guys in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Jaguar Jones.
Yeah, and Jeep Jones. Yeah.
Dadiri, Montaigne.
Dadiri, Montaigne, Jordan Ravi. Jack Vidgin, who's like a millionaire.
Grant Morrison was sick this week, so now the X-Men are taking on Jaguar Jones.
It's good.
I think Jaguar Jones played Emma Frost in X-Men First
Class.
That's right.
I believe so.
Moving on.
Anyway,
yeah, sorry.
Rolling down our list here, we've got a little bit more information about Danny's Pet Nation.
The Czechs! The Czechs are doing what they did for the past 2 years, and I'm a big fan of that, because then I can watch them and scrutinize them. I can make fun of space sushi this year again.
We can always make fun of space sushi, let's be honest. Damn it, space sushi, why do you gotta be like that? So they are gonna be doing an online national final like they have the last couple of years. They were teasing about maybe switching to a televised show, but that's not gonna be in the cards this year. But what they have teased us with successfully is they're little bit by little bit revealing information about the acts. They're not saying who it is, but they're giving really random clues about their identities, like their shoe sizes.
Oh, what are they?
Small to slightly larger.
Oh, so it's just like Malawi again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine
with
me.
They gave us their jewel-tone turtleneck sizes.
Yeah.
They've also revealed how many live shows they've performed. So, which is interesting because there's one that has zero.
I like this.
There's one that has zero.
Yeah, and one who has 1,500.
Yeah. So this could be freaking anything.
Isn't it great to have information that's completely useless and nonetheless extremely fascinating?
I'm loving this. Yeah. I'm absolutely loving this.
Data is beautiful.
So we know that it's seven acts involving a total of 11 people.
Okay. And so we have one quintet and one that is actually zero people.
Oh, yeah.
It's the robot from San Marino.
Oh, my God. I'm wondering what happened to him.
Just slowly lifting its arms and yeah.
All right, so how many people is Allie Ryan? Okay.
So they also listed the genres that they're serving up. So we've got a various number of pops. So there's organic pop, dream pop, indie pop, emo pop, afro pop. And then there's reggaeton, which you'd totally expect to hear from the Czechs. Mm-hmm. And planned coincidence punk pop.
What in God's name is planned coincidence punk pop?
I don't know. I'm terrified.
My money's on whatever that is.
I think that's Frank Zappa's youngest.
Ah.
Oh.
It's Punk Pop Zappa.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Let's see. In terms of organizational stuff, we had the first batch of tickets on sale briefly.
Briefly on sale and disappeared.
You want to cover this?
No, I don't.
Sorry, I'm touching a bit of a nerve, aren't I?
A little bit. So they went on sale at noon.
Eastern Europe time. Western Europe time.
Yeah, which is so 5 a.m. here.
Yeah.
So I got up shortly before 5 a.m. I got in the line and accomplished nothing. it sounded like they got... What does the arena hold? 16,000?
Give or take, something like that. I mean, they didn't release like 16,000 tickets.
Well, there's also that. Yeah, they released maybe like a third of the tickets or something like that. Yeah. But apparently they got something like 80,000 people trying to get tickets. So so even if they were selling all of them, they still had more than four times the demand than they had the supply.
That's
so, what you're going to have to do, Eric? You're going to have to wait until the most obnoxious Dutch drive time radio hosts are asking for caller 12 after they play Duncan Lawrence. And you too can win two tickets to go see Eurovision.
Yeah. Oh, what would they be called? What would those guys be called?
Schmankink and the Pancake.
Ah.
Never disappoints.
Perfect. You're listening to Schmankink and the Pancake.
On 108.8. That is not a valid frequency.
It is in Europe, but the numbers are different.
I just thought this is your way of avoiding us getting sued.
Danny, their radio stations are on the metric system.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
So yeah, that was a bummer. I mean, I since I'm sure everyone listening is so concerned, I'm definitely still going to go. I'm going to figure something out. I'm hoping to be doing some press stuff, which I'm feeling pretty good about. But one way or another, I'm going to go. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Buying tickets, not great.
It's never great.
Yeah, and the biggest complaint I think I saw people have was that there was no indication of progress. Like the site didn't crash. Apparently, in the background, it worked fairly smoothly. It's just that there was no way to see how much longer you were going to have to wait if you had a shot.
Oh, so you were in the queue, but you had no idea if you were next in line or number 79,872.
Right, exactly. So there was no indication. I just had to wait and hope that one of the pages would come up. And for some people, they did.
Mm.
It's just that, in any case where there are a lot more people wanting to go than there are tickets, it's just going to be frustrating. And then the system they're using is just not awesome. So
hopefully, I mean, I don't know when the next wave of tickets are going to be released. Maybe sometime in January. Normally, they kind of hold back until they have a little bit more information on camera angles, where technical positions are going to be, and then they kind of release more. Hopefully, maybe they'll upgrade the website and they'll hear the complaints and the comments that people have been saying and maybe they'll make it better.
They definitely have time to retool it a bit if they are able and willing to do so hopefully they will.
All right, so better luck next time, I suppose.
We'll see. It would be nice to get tickets as just sort of a backup plan, but we'll see. If I don't, and one thing that I am looking forward to is that there is only one official way to resell the tickets, and they are limiting the amount you can hike up the price. I think 20% increase is as much
like that,
as you can
do,
which is great. Then I know, okay, worst case scenario, this is what I'm going to have to pay. So
finally, the bureaucracy works for us.
It's nice for a change.
Yeah. Oh, we know about the postcards?
A little bit about the postcards.
Bit?
Yeah. So the organizers are saying that it's going to be the acts interacting with local Dutch residents doing Dutch thing. So like they've actually put in a call for, you know, your community organizer, like your community groups or your local dance group or choir or soccer club or school something or other. You know, they've actually said, hey, submit who you are and maybe we'll hook you up with one of the artists. So doing various Dutch things. So singing, dancing, playing football,
going to the red light district, drinking Choco Mel, seeing the Anne Frank house,
splitting bills in restaurants.
Yes.
Lifting up a bike that's in your parking spot and dumping it in the canal.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Being a little too honest and mistaking it for being polite.
I feel like there's a story behind this, Derek.
Yeah, they can do that.
I've just heard that's how they talk.
Overpaying for a houseboat, going to a Faba with no food in it.
Jumping on a ferry and hearing Brits talking very obnoxiously about how much the ferry doesn't cost.
Eating large amounts of delicious cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Throwing tulips at each other. I don't know. Is that what they do over there? It's been a while since I've
If it's not, it should be.
Ooh.
I thought they eat them. That's what you, well, that's after that's what you do with a tulip, right?
Tying yourself to a windmill and going around and around.
Sticking your finger in the dike.
Restoring the night watch.
Eating potatoes and then
get yelled at by a security guard in the Van Gogh Museum for having your phone out.
Ooh, that was fun.
Eating potatoes with mayonnaise.
Ooh.
yes
considering going to that museum that's next to the Van Gogh Museum and then not doing it. That's a big tradition.
Big tradition
Posing in front of that sign that says I Amsterdam, although it wasn't there when we were there. I don't know why that was. I guess we're just not Amsterdam.
Well, you're gonna be Rotterdam.
That's true.
Alright,
no wait, I have more.
Please stop
me.
The trend of the postcards being the artists doing local stuff as sort of a travel video.
Yeah.
Like, how long has that been a thing? Do you know offhand? Because I feel like they've been doing it quite a bit.
They didn't do it last year.
Not last year, but they've done it a long time, you know, in some way, shape, or form.
At some point, didn't it shift from, like, the artists showing off their own countries to the artists showing off the host country?
It kind of bounced bounces back and forth. I can't tell you. I don't really have a history of the postcards, you know, seared into my brain, unfortunately.
I mean, it is kind of a big tourism ad, so I get it.
And we'll talk about this a little later on in our overview
of
the decade.
We're talking about the best postcards of the decade. It's the big feature of the show.
And the worst.
Yeah. And the worst.
You know who you are.
Stay tuned for the worst, guys.
Yeah.
In other news.
We have more news from Bulgaria.
Yes.
There is a Bulgaria.
Yes, there is, in fact, a Bulgaria. So Derek and I got to know the folks from Equinox pretty well when they were singing for Bulgaria in 2018. So Jana Bergendorf took second place in the Bulgarian version of The Masked Singer.
So she didn't earn it, she took it.
She just walked off with it when no one was looking.
Yoink. And yeah, she's dressed as a rose. Who the hell knew? It was her, you know?
She was a rose?
She was a rose.
Oh, interesting.
She was a big
rose. I figured she would have, her mask would have been like Janu Lassand, or
meeting young Irish girls on the beach.
Quavo.
A flame curtain.
Quavo.
I don't know. You were talking about Quavo earlier. That's not part of the show. I guess now it is.
Believe it or not, people at home, we have conversations while you're not listening to us.
They do. I just power down.
Sometimes we're even talking about you.
I hope so.
Are we?
Anyway, the Eurovision YouTube page continues to bear gifts for us, and they have gone all the way back to the start of the decade. 2010 was released last week. I'm curious to see if they're going to keep going backwards. Are we just going to see like 2009 or something like that?
My God, 2009 and HD would be incredible.
Is that Finland? Is that
no, that was Moscow.
Where Reebok won.
Yeah, but it was such a shiny year.
It was a big stage.
Huge.
Most LEDs.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Huge.
It, massive. Just a massive arena.
Yeah. My hope is somehow and we've said this a couple of times now, somehow they work it out and we can get 2016 through 2018 on YouTube. They can get rid of whatever the rights hold up is. Alternatively, there's a precedent. Put them on Netflix. Putting
it
out there. Maybe do that. Anyway, we've been able to watch some of these old ones. I had never seen the 2010 show before, and now I have. I have some opinions on it. We will get to that in a moment.
Oh, we do. Yes.
It's really interesting seeing those shows because they're not that old. They're not from that long ago, but it really feels like a different era, a different eon. And it just like the songs are different and you hear like these phrases that are unfamiliar, like our 12 points go to the United Kingdom, and you just hear
what?
These
wait say
in
2010?
Not in 2010.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. I guess it might have been 2011, one of those. But I listening to one of the old ones, I definitely remember hearing that phrase, 12 points go to the United Kingdom, and just having to process what that meant. UK, I'm very sorry, but you know what I'm talking about.
What you've done.
Like, for some reason, hearing the name United Kingdom said in that scenario at all, it just was really weird. So it's a joke I made up, but it's also true. My comedy is based in real life.
Nice.
Anyway, they're really cool and you should watch them. And if you've seen some of the footage or some of the videos, you should still watch these because, and I think, Derek, you mentioned this last episode or thereabouts, they look amazing.
They're incredible.
Like, it's legit HD.
They look like
phenomenal.
You might as well be watching them on a TV.
They really
do look good.
Yeah.
I know we watched, like, when Sam first introduced me, we watched some of the older seasons.
Yeah.
So originally, the ones they had on there, I think they only went to, like, 40 resolution. And they looked pretty crappy, like bad VHS tapes you found in your grandmother's attic.
All warped and
all kind of static, but like watch it in high def, it's another experience altogether.
Plus with the old ones, you die after 7 days. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really inconvenient.
Unless you get someone else to watch it. Sam.
That's how I got you into
this,
Derek.
That's why I'm dead now.
Oh, was that all the news?
Editing the show.
Could be.
Was that all the news? I think we might have had all the
news.
But
honestly, I think talking about Eurovision 2010 being released onto YouTube is a perfect segue into talking about the wonders that was this decade.
Before we do though, we gotta remind them of our social media, as always, which we always forget about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very true. So Denny, why don't you take the honors?
Oh boy. Eric is on Twitter at Eric is tweeting.
You got it.
With a K.
You got it, buddy.
Sam's on Twitter.
What's that?
At ESC Insider.
That's me.
We're on email at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. That's 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And Twitter at
12pointsUSA.
12pointsUSA. Yep. Yeah. 12pointsUSA.
Facebook as
Facebook
well.
Facebook is also 12pointsUSA.
So we have gotten some responses. We have had a couple people talk to us about their 2010s moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will get to those.
All right. So where do we want to start? I mean, it was a big decade. We've had first time hosts. We've had the hosting nations that, returning to for the first time in decades. There's Sweden that we just keep on coming back to. There's so much to kind of wrap your arms around. Going from 2010 to 2019, the show has changed significantly. We had a new...
Whiplash.
So where do you guys want to start?
Let's start with embarrassment.
That's us.
So one of the categories we made for ourselves in our little Eurovision Decade Oscars was the biggest or best face plant.
Best and or biggest, and for me, it's synonymous.
Synonymous or synonymous in your case?
Oh, that's too good. Because
why?
That is exactly what I put. My choice for the 2010s biggest face plant was Serhat, as always. Serhat singing Say Na Na Na. Not as a whole. I mean, the song itself is a face plant itself, but him getting sick and having to sing it like he was a husky baritone on a sex chat line. Absolutely loved it.
Wow.
Him leaning into that mic, sounding like Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia.
Wow.
Wonderful. Well, his dancers absolutely tried their best to save the show.
Khaki shorts.
It was prime for me. Prime.
Yeah. Sam?
Well, I was going to throw it to Derek because he had...
Oh, yeah. Let me just piggyback
on that. Because let's dogpile here, yeah.
Because I also picked Say Na Na. Simply for the fact that he came back, he dumped a ton of money into this. His own money, I'm sure. And he did everything. He wrote the song, probably did the choreography, probably designed the staging.
Probably did.
He was like his own press manager. Like in between rehearsals, you could hear him on mic telling everyone what to do. He was his own show, like everything around the show. And just like to see him
and fate conspired like, yeah. against him.
And it gave him cold. And we were there when he caught the cold.
Oh,
that's
it was
the thing.
So
wait a minute.
You
it
injected him with the cold.
It wasn't. We witnessed on the bus.
Yes, on the
bus.
We
were going to, but then someone else did.
He was complaining about his throat hurting. But just to see, like I've never seen that to that capacity where someone's like, we're going to give you everything. Like, he had every decision given to him. And it was kind of unreal.
Hmm.
And just sort of see it fall apart. I mean, he ended up doing okay, I guess.
For San Marino, it's San Marino's best result ever.
Yeah. Yes, but mm-hmm. they got there, and then it was, you know.
If you're feeling sad and lonely,
I just want to go home.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my.
It's like a sick kid who can't stay home because he's got like a major presentation to do that day.
Oh, that I actually read the book this time.
On how to say na na na.
Sam, you didn't say na na na.
No.
No.
But I did say Serhat's first performance. And it wasn't just what we saw on stage in Stockholm. Because frankly, the version of I Didn't Know that we saw in Stockholm wasn't half bad.
Hmm.
But the original release of the song and the original version
mm-hmm.
where he had this stranger from Turkey singing for San Marino of all things, and we see this music video and it's this slow, lugubrious Leonard Cohen on Viagra.
It's like a green screen of like a paradise beach at
like
night.
Bora Bora or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wearing a leather monocle.
It was like a monocle that like strapped onto his head on like a device I can only... It looks like a medieval torture device light.
He was a Bond villain.
Yes.
It was essential.
But he did a lot of the design and a lot of the direction was by Terry Mugler, like the actually rather talented designer. And just the entire issue of, we have the song, we have the package, we have the video. Oh dear God, everybody hates it. And just being able to spin that. I mean, maybe this is almost not necessarily a faceplant, but almost a redemption by the fact that they were able to put glitter on the poo.
Yeah, this feels like a reverse faceplant.
I know, but just the inability for the delegation to look at the song and go, is this really what we want to present to everybody?
But no one in the room was like,
guys, really?
Really? Are you sure
that
about
it
this?
It took
some doing to get it switched over.
Yeah, but it took like, the fandom saying, guys.
We kind of like this disco version you released as a joke.
Exactly, and that's the power of the fandom. Yeah. But the faceplant of this is why a delegation. It's wonderful for an artist to have tons of control and a sense of self, but the delegation has to know when to step in.
Yeah, and he and that was sort of interesting to see him both times, because that first time he was very much a passenger.
Yes.
On that ride, like he just seemed like he's just like, yeah, you know, whatever we're doing, that's fine. Like he just kind of rolled with everything.
The second time,
and then
he came back and he's like, I'm in charge now. Yeah. So, Eric, are we 4 for 4 on the Serhattery?
No, you guys are jerks.
Unfortunately.
This took me a while to think about, and I considered San Marino, but I just thought, like...
They've had enough.
They've suffered enough. So, like, who just completely just messed everything up, and it suddenly dawned on me...
Belarus.
Yes, but no.
Okay.
This is from 2015. It is from North Macedonia, as it is now called. Daniel Kamikowski.
Kamikowski, yeah.
I did it.
Yeah, you did the thing.
He had a really good, nice song called Autumn Leaves that was one of my favorites from that year. Really just nice, heartstringy, well put together
That was one of the top songs when I had my preview party. That was like number one or two in the grouping.
But then, Sam, I remember you and I talking about this before, like when they announced that they were going to do this, but before we'd heard what it would sound like, I remember being intrigued but skeptical.
This
is either going to make it considerably better or considerably worse, and it was the latter.
Yeah.
He got members of the group Blackstreet, the folks behind No Diggity.
No doubt.
They were done bagging it up, and now they are.
They're here.
Now they're at Eurovision. Basically, Blackstreet was backing him up for the live performance. It was a disaster. It made no sense. It was incongruous. It was just worse. It was worse in every conceivable way. It was just a mess.
Dr. Dre have a guest verse?
No. That's what it needed.
It needed a little marionette of Lil Penny. That's what it needed. What was missing.
That's a reference. That's, well done. America, if you don't... Oh, no, wait. We're America. Non-America, if you don't know Lil Penny, I don't ask your grandmother. And...
Not to be confused with Lil Sebastian or Lil Bubs.
No, Lil Babs.
They just took a nice little ballad and wrecked it with
R&B.
With a R&B group from the mid 90s.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've got nothing against R&B.
It doesn't go in this song. My goodness.
It was chocolate and ketchup.
Yeah. Final score, I got 28 points in the semifinal, 15th out of 16 places. Last place, the only thing it beat is coming up later. So we'll get to that.
There's a discussion here.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the thing. The song that it beat, and we will get to this, did not deserve the fate it got. This one absolutely did. This was a great song, and they just butchered it. And I feel bad saying that. Macedonia has been a really strong contributor the last several years, and this song should have been a part of that, and it just wasn't. Because of the audible at the end, basically.
I'd say, too, the staging really wasn't very remarkable either.
It's pretty static
from what I remember.
Yeah. But the few bits of choreography that there was seemed very, very... clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on every level, I think.
Yeah.
Like, even the way they shot it felt poorly composed.
Great song in studio, though. If this were purely a song contest, studio versions only, it would have done.
It would have been way up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, check out Autumn Leaves. It's really good. Shall we move on?
Actually, let's check out the original. The original Macedonian version, if you can find it, Kalisia Esenski, which was quite lovely. But you know, can we throw to what we could have had and just to play a little clip of the studio version of Autumn Leaves?
Sure.
Let's do that. Every moment we'll hurt from the last to the first time. Trying to find a way to breathe. Close the book in a chapter forever and after. Falling like the autumn leaves. Now, imagine that. Except it sucks.
that's Autumn Leaves. So.
Let's move right on.
What do we got next step?
Move right on up our list.
Let's talk about postcards.
The postcards that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So let's start with should we start with worst or best?
I say best. Let's do positive.
Start with the best.
Yeah, we've been mean so far. Let's be less mean.
So we do the best postcards that introduce each act.
Yeah, so in the minute that they're changing the stage over, if you haven't seen this before, in which case, thanks for listening, by the way.
You're really going out on a limb. I've never seen a Eurovision.
Yeah.
I can help you find us.
Yeah, there's this little video, like vignette, of the artist, usually the artist or something to that effect, doing something related to their country. country or to the host country or both, and it's just a cute little thing. It's they are very varying in quality, as it turns out. So let's see. Who do we wanna start with here?
Derek.
Talking about the best, just kind of going back and looking at them all, I think the one that always stands out to me is Denmark. It doesn't showcase the host country in every instance, but mm-hmm. it showcases their home country, and they all have this project where they have to make their own flag.
This is 2014?
2014. Yeah. And they don't do the same thing twice, and it's every conceivable way to make the flag, via like balloons or dresses or painting or
skywriting,
or swimming pools and fireworks and any way they can get that color pattern, and then they pull out a camera and they take a picture of it, and that turns into the postcard, which turns into the flag and then turns into the performance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool effect. And I'll pick one in particular that really stood out to me was the host country, Denmark's. Oh, they pull out all this furniture. They look like they got a Goodwill.
Oh, yeah. This is incredible.
And they start painting it, you know, red and white. And you're not quite sure how it's going to work because they're painting like this huge space out in like this parking lot with like this furniture living room set. And then they kind of step back and they take a photo, and you realized it was forced perspective. So it looks, the flag was stretched out over a distance. So it was a perfect square on the photo.
So cool.
And mm-hmm. the white stripe kind of goes right across the middle like it would in the flag, even though it was like painted across all this furniture
mm-hmm.
way off in the distance. And it's the most incredible thing.
In your opinion, you think that Denmark saved the best concept for themselves?
Of course they
did. Host
the, there
I have
are
a conspiracy about this.
They also have a relatively easy flag to do it with, only two colors.
2014 is by far my favorite postcard year as well, and there are a few that come to mind. Romania did theirs by setting off fireworks over a lake of different colors and then taking a picture of the lake as they were going off, which is crazy. Azerbaijan did like a long exposure photograph where it carried the lights across and then used like a light pen to draw the crescent in the middle of the flag. I remember Sweden's was yellow pool floaties in a pool from above. They were so good. So many of these were just so clever and fun and interesting. And that was my first Eurovision. So for a few brief moments, I thought that, oh, this is the thing they do every year. And God, I wish that was true.
Yeah, you got spoiled.
I did.
It was rough coming down from that one.
Yeah, it was just such a good one.
Yeah.
2014 had my favorite postcards as well. They were just innovative and different and funny. Like, I loved it when they had the songs or the postcards then referenced in the presentation of the song itself. Like, they had the singer from Armenia, for example, making basically a jeweled pin that at the opening shot of him singing the song, you realize he's wearing the pin.
Mm-hmm. Well, Albania
had the tattoo.
Yeah.
She had the double-headed eagle tattooed on her back. It wasn't really tattooed. Yeah. It was henna. It was still really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you like the first shot of her is you see her back with a double-headed eagle. But my personal two favorites that year were Germany, which was basically just the girls from Eliza making candy into the three stripes of the color of the flag of Germany. But in the press center that year, for the first time when we saw what Germany was doing, at that moment, the folks from the German press corps gave out pieces of the candy to the press that were assembled.
Of the candy.
Of at least, if not the candy that they were making that day. I'm sure they made others, but it was still the three-striped candy. So we had the little candy to munch on while we were watching them rehearse.
What
which
does
was
Germany
really, really
taste
cool.
like, Sam?
Yeah, what did it taste like?
It was actually really quite nice. It was lovely, fruity. They had like a tutti frutti kind of a... It was sugar candy,
yeah.
You know. So I love that one. I love just how they blended that with the marketing behind the scenes. Also, my other favorite one, which granted, how I'm sure a lot of it just has to do with anything with Sebalter, I'm already a fan of, because, Sebalter. They had him making the flag of Switzerland using red and white dominoes. So he had them lining up perfectly, perfectly well, and just super, super focused, and then something falls over, and you just see him just deflate. and it was too natural for it to be rehearsed. So I'm like, I'm imagining mm-hmm. him just taking the hours and hours and hours to do this.
It was a significant amount of dominoes, too. He spent an entire day on that postcard, for sure.
Absolutely.
I doubt he did the whole thing himself.
No, I mean, but like some
in
people
the narrative
took,
of the...
Yeah, like some people took the easy way out. He was like, oh.
In the storyline, he did it himself.
Exactly.
The Polish one, I thought, was pretty lazy.
Yeah.
She just goes in a recording studio and sings, and it makes...
I thought that was kind of clever, though.
I thought it was kind of clever, but at the same time, I'm like, you're a musician, we get it. Yeah. Like, Finland...
Oh yeah, with the icebreaker.
They went onto a barge and cut out blocks of ice and made the flag.
Oh, and the UK made theirs out of buses.
Yeah,
people in raincoats.
That was really good.
That was really cool.
That must have been a tough one to come up with.
Yeah,
definitely. Complicated flag.
All right, Danny.
I didn't choose Denmark.
You rebel.
You guys have been too nice to Denmark for too long.
Okay, smartass. And what did you pick?
What year was Vienna? What year was Austria? Was that 2015? 2015. Okay, so just the next year. The postcards that they did for every country that came to Vienna was a little shot of each performer opening the door to their home and opening a package that had been delivered to them. I imagine by Jan Ullesand himself.
Oh, of course.
Comes there and gives them a package. Then they open it, and then once they look up from the package, like they're in some scenic place in Austria.
Of which there are many.
And there are many. There are many. Mm. So I'm going to inaugurate one of our many mentions of Mons, which is going to be great. My favorite is the one that he did, where he's just at home, you know.
Being Mons.
In Sweden.
Doing Mons stuff.
Yes. And he opens up the package, and all of a sudden he is in the Alps. He's in the Austrian mountains, and all of a sudden they're helping him into what looks like a spaceman suit. And so we are combining two things that Eurovision loves, Mons and absolute weirdness that goes unexplained. Because they put him into a cave, and I assume they put him in this suit because it's cold or there's, like, no oxygen. But anyway, it's him and some other astronaut person running around with a robot on wheels in an icy cave. And then we go right to heroes. That's mine.
I like to imagine that Austrian people were, like, putting the suit on, and Mons is like, what's with the suit? Why am I wearing this?
They said, don't ask questions.
And they're like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
We got you covered, man.
We're definitely probably not going to kill you.
You go spelunking. That's nice. My Austrian.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty good. Ladies
and gentlemen, Danny's accent of
yes,
the week.
That's it.
Yeah.
Accent of the week.
Now we get to make fun of postcards.
Yeah.
And I believe this one's unanimous.
This one is unanimous.
So I'll start. Just because I don't remember a specific one.
That's the problem.
Oh, yeah,
I don't remember
a
specific one from this year. It's Baku. It's 2012. It's Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm. This year, the artists themselves didn't really have anything to do with the
No, nothing at all. It was
all Azerbaijan, which, to give them a tiny bit of defense, they're Azerbaijan. This is going to be like one of the few big things that they're going to have to do for an audience of Central and Western Europe.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. But also at the same time, all they did was showcase their own country with none of the Eurovision artists, and some of them were pretty mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know those ads, this is only going to make sense for people who live in the Midwest, I guess. Midwest US, not like Slovakia. You know those ads that are like, great faces, great places, South Dakota.
South
and it shows
Dakota.
Like people like fly fishing and people like driving on roads.
Yeah, see scenic Mount Rushmore and then leave or whatever.
And then look, a sky with clouds.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
look,
where else are you going to get scenic Sioux Falls, Godfather's pizza or whatever? And
my apologies to any South Dakotan listeners we have.
And to anyone listening in Azerbaijan.
I lived there for 4 years. I can say whatever I want.
Fair
the Corn
enough.
Palace sucks. But yeah, the Azerbaijani postcards were like that. It was just like, great faces, great places, Azerbaijan. Yeah, hire me, someone.
They were beautifully filmed, but at the same time, it really felt...
It was like stock footage of Azerbaijan, and then here's Denmark, or whatever.
Yeah,
so
they would repeat the same things.
Yeah,
they didn't have a unique
full set of postcards.
Right, yeah,
either.
I mean, they had the Kuzkila, the Maiden Tower in Old City, Baku. They had the Flame Towers, and then they had, like, a rotating assortment of about four or five other things.
There was that big flagpole.
Yeah, the big flagpole.
Horses.
The arena itself. Lots of horses. Lots of mountains.
Mm-hmm. I do love those horses.
I mean, what they showed was beautiful, but they kept showing it over and over and over again. And when they did try to shoehorn something linking the postcard to the country they were about to show, it felt forced.
Yeah. I did think it was kind of cool that this is the one where they lit up the outside of the arena like the country's flag.
That was cool.
That was
cool.
Yes. That was cool.
Yes.
That was probably half the cost of that arena, was just being able to
do
that. But that was it. Like that, it was, otherwise it was just great places. Great faces. Azerbaijan.
The name of the episode.
Yeah. So Derek, there was one that really kind of
irked me. Well, there was a few. I thought we kind of mentioned somewhere about, I thought there were a few that were in very poor taste. Mm. And the one that stood out to me the first time I saw it, and then you pointed out another one. I'll let you talk about that if you want to. When they introduced Israel, it was Azerbaijan, Holy Land. And I thought, it doesn't...
No.
I mean, it's a place of many faiths.
It's a place of many faiths, and you could have had a postcard on, like, the faiths of the country, or something that showed up, like a mosque. And I've been to mosques, and some of them are quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they could have done something like that, like, oh, this is a beautiful mosque, you should see the inside of it.
Yeah.
People aren't really familiar with that, that'd been cool, but...
Yeah, I mean, and there's a vibrant Jewish population in parts of Azerbaijan that are, you know, live very beautifully and peacefully there for centuries and centuries.
And how interesting would it have been if they went to an Jewish district and said, land of many faiths, and, like, here's the Jewish district. Here are the faiths. Yeah, and here are the faiths, and then go to Israel. And it's like, okay, that makes sense.
But instead...
They were trying to out-holy... The whole Israel.
A land of faith for three religions.
Yes.
The biggest ones.
Yes.
Wow.
It was awkward.
It was kind of awkward.
They kind of did the same thing with France, too, as well.
Oh, they were like, land of art.
Land of cuisine.
Land of cuisine.
They tried to out-cuisine France. And granted, Azerbaijani cuisine is flipping delicious. Mm-hmm. I have never eaten such delicious grilled lamb. Some of the best pilaf I've ever had. It's an amazing, amazing cuisine. But you're trying to out-food France.
Yeah, sit down, Azerbaijan. Just calm down.
But to me, the one that boiled me and just felt like the moment that I saw it, you just kind of was Azerbaijan's selection for their own entry. Oftentimes they'll show, you know, when it's the host entries, the host countries turn to highlight themselves, they'll often turn it onto the capital city, or they'll turn it onto the show itself. Like in Germany, when they did that, they showed the hosts being awesome in Düsseldorf.
The host can have their own flashy postcard.
Absolutely. Azerbaijan decided to take their host postcard.
Oh boy.
Host card.
Host card, yes. And make it about Karabakh. Which, if you're not familiar with the Nagorno-Karabakh dispute, it is the bit of land that is geographically located within Azerbaijan. It is populated almost entirely by Armenians, and it is sort of a breakaway republic, and they are basically in a quiet war between these two, and people are still dying over this. And they decided to take their moment and politicize it.
And they said, guess what's a part of our country?
But yeah, Eurovision at its heart is supposed to be a non-political event. We know in reality it bubbles up to the surface, but for it not to just to bubble up to the surface, but to be dragged to the surface and then have a spotlight on it, it was just inflammatory and really, really inappropriate, especially when Armenia had intended to participate at Eurovision in 2012 and backed out because they were concerned about their safety. So
they were threatened by the government, weren't they?
Basically. So when I saw that in the press center, I gasped, and I wasn't the only one. I'm still upset about this, frankly.
It's a song contest.
Like it doesn't matter what side of the conflict you're on, if you're pro Azerbaijan, pro Armenia, pro Artsakh independence, however you wish to put it, this isn't the place. And I'm kind of upset that the EBU didn't stand up and say something about that. Can we move on? I'm going to get into a spiral here.
Let's talk about host songs, because nothing's wrong with those.
Yay!
Except.
All right, so guys, lighten the mood. What were your favorite songs by host nations?
This is another one that's almost anonymous, sort of. I guess, well, Danny didn't fill this in.
I meant to say
unanimous. I don't know why I said anonymous.
It's almost anonymous.
I have no idea who any of you are.
That none of us declined to use our names.
Well, after taking a look at all of the songs from this past decade by the host nations, when these nations were hosting their Eurovision, what song they put in there? That's what we mean by host song.
Yeah.
I'm over-explaining it. Okay, you guys... we're all in agreement that one was pretty good, but I think I prefer Cliché Love Song. I do like that one a little bit better.
That one is my pick as well.
Yeah. Basim in Denmark 2014.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's literally Bruno Mars. Literally.
Literally.
It is nice to see a host nation try to not actively look like they are not trying to win. This song had some effort behind it. the song is good.
Yeah, it's very, very solid production, just really, really fun. I think they kind of hit the nail on the head for a host song in that that song was probably not super likely to win, but it was very likely to do well.
Yeah.
And that's probably what you want to do, mm-hmm. unless you're really, really going for it. And it's just such a fun little tune. It's great.
Mm. To quote Derek, pleasant plus.
Yeah.
That's not my line.
Pleasant plus.
It is now.
Okay.
All right. So Eric and Danny, you're both going for a cliche love song?
Yes. Cliche love song it is.
Derek, what are your thoughts?
Fight to the death it is, because I voted and...
I split my vote, but I'm leaning heavily in one direction.
Oh, no. Don't do this to me.
No. Okay. I'm with you, but I have a backup.
Oh, Jardim.
Yeah.
The Garden.
Yeah.
From Portugal. I agree with this. I have no problem you guys selecting this.
Oh, yeah. This doesn't offend me like some of the later stuff is going to.
Yes. It was a phenomenal song the first time I heard it. I thought, this is going to do exceptionally well.
And
it
didn't.
I was wrong. I was very wrong.
Yeah.
But it was very simple, understated, quite beautiful, very emotional, even though I didn't know what she was talking about.
Mm. Mine didn't know what she was talking about. And
she was joined on stage by Katie Lang.
Katie Lang in a straitjacket, let's remember.
Was sitting in a chair with her back to the audience for the first half of the song.
I love this one so much.
It's gorgeous, though.
It is. It's understated, it's simple, but it still had a very Portuguese feel to it. Not just because it was in Portuguese, but there's this feeling that's like, if you ask a Portuguese person, like, what is the national mood of Portugal? And they would say saudade, which is this feeling that doesn't really have a direct English translation, but it's kind of a longing, wistful, sad nostalgia, remembering the beauty of something that was, knowing you'll probably never have it again, but being thankful that there's something there to miss.
Mm.
And for me, this was just the perfect encapsulation of a modern saudade. It was beautiful, it was vulnerable, and it came, like, I heard it for the first time. Let me back up. The song is about the death of Isaura, the songwriter's grandmother, and how now that she's gone, you know, I'm trying to be the best person I can. Now that you're gone, I will take care of your garden. And I heard the song for the first time almost a year to the day after my own grandmother had passed away. And hearing the story and what it was like, it was just, it was a shot to the gut. And I still kind of get a little weepy whenever I hear it. But
it's a good song.
It's a really good song. It's
great.
They were frankly robbed in the moment.
They absolutely were. And we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, I feel like this one might come up again.
We'll talk about this at home.
I do have a...
Grab it by the arm. Talk about this later.
An honorable mention.
I have an honorable mention. Germany's reigning champion, Lena, coming back in 2011 with Taken by a Stranger.
Yeah.
That's solid.
It was...
Weird.
It was weird, and I loved it for it.
Yeah, it's sort of this sort of odd, creepy vibe, but not like really upsetting creepy, just like...
Unsettling.
Yeah.
It's a little
off.
SNL 1990 sprockets.
Yes!
Oh my god, it
does feel like an art school presentation.
It almost feels a little bit like a parody of what a German song would be.
Yes, it absolutely, like, there are parts where it's like, ooh, that's Metropolis right
there. Yes, we put on this silver body stocking and we sing about being taken by stranger. Yeah.
And the dance was very robotic.
But I loved it for that. And I thought, like, for my first Eurovision, like, my first real time in Germany, I'm like, this is exactly what I was
planning. Yeah. And it's not a bad song. I think it's a better song than the one that she won with.
That's arguable.
It is arguable, well. And I'm making that argument.
I'm sure we
I'm
will.
I'm saying there will
we
be fans who will argue this.
Yeah, we will argue about it.
Yeah.
All right.
So those are the best, definitely, definitively, the best host songs.
Yes.
Let's just get this over quickly.
Worst host song. This is absolutely unanimous. This is wild.
Right,
it's...
Wait, everybody. One, two, three.
My heart is yours.
Before we explain it, can we please throw to it?
Yes.
We need them to suffer.
Derek.
Because my heart is yours, I'll never leave you. Though we are far.
Beautiful, the man is pretty, and he could not sing. He could not carry this tune if he had a bucket.
Yeah, so I was doing some work, and I had the 2010 contest on after they posted it, and there were a few songs in, and I will note, as I'm telling the story, I'm Norwegian, and this song is playing, it's maybe halfway through, and I'm just thinking, oh my god, this is awful, what is this? And I look up, and I see that it's Norway, and I just go, oh man! Why?
Guys!
And then I remembered, they were the hosts, so we talked about how a lot of times...
They'll just try to torpedo their own song to not have to host again.
Or they're focusing on other things.
Yeah, not necessarily torpedoing, but just like not trying to win, not necessarily sending their best.
Yeah.
Because like Sam said, it's not the most important thing in their puzzle when they are hosting. But I gotta say, they gotta take the prize here that in 2010 Norway took making sure you don't win again to heights previously thought impossible.
Wow.
They could not
be. It's too bad. It's rough.
It didn't do the worst that year, though.
No, it didn't. It did not. United Kingdom. Sorry.
Two things that we just constantly gang up on.
It's Sarah Hot in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
That is definitively the worst.
At least
song.
Around this
it's,
table.
It's rough. Yeah. It's really rough, mm-hmm. you guys. It just is.
It's just so bad. It's bland. And like we've heard, you know, pop opera balladry before.
Yeah.
But we've heard it done so much better.
We sure have.
You turn on like any sea level track from a Josh Groban album and it's 10 times better than what we heard from Norway that year.
Yeah, it's not good and it's not well sung either by any stretch. Yeah. It was bad. All right. We've talked about host songs. Let's talk about hosts. As in, not the cities.
Not nations.
I tried to say arena and nations at the same time. I said oration. So besides the orations, we're talking about the hosts
the people
who are
in
reading
the oration.
The
yes.
things. The people in the oration.
Yes.
Yes.
We start with the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's not a lot of wiggle room here.
Not really. I don't think
so.
Well,
I'm the outlier here.
Yeah.
But I recognize the supremacy of the ones that you guys have mentioned.
Well, why don't you go first then?
Yeah, get your out of the way.
I think that my pick sort of caused the basis for your picks. That in 2011, Anke Engelke, who is a very well-known comedian and host in Germany, believe it or not, Germans have great senses of humor, and Anke was a great, great representative of that. Before her, we didn't really see a lot of comedy and warmth coming from a lot of the hosts. Warmth, maybe, but in sort of that polished sort of...
Yeah, polished kind of glamour. Hey, welcome to Düsseldorf.
Yes, but
Anke... This is not her.
Anke, she had the polish and she had the warmth, but she had a little bit of an off-kilter sense to her and a little bit of a you don't know what's going to happen next and a little wacky that I think lent itself to some of my favorite hosts in following years.
Yep.
We saw a lot of Anke in Filomena Kaltela, who was the best of the four hostesses in Lisbon. I saw a lot of that in Asi Azar, who was in Israel this year.
He was fun.
He was great. And I think I saw a lot of Anke in the folks that I think you three are going to mention. But I feel like we wouldn't be where we are today in host awesomeness without a lot of Anke. So, Danke, Anke.
Danke,
oh.
Anke.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. I also want to say that Stefan Raab,
yeah.
I pronounce his name, he was quite good as the German Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And
was there a German Triumph the Insult comic done?
That was Judith Rackers.
Ah, okay.
But Anke had that fantastic cover of...
The satellite in the beginning?
No, the Ukrainian song, where she sang about the sand.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. That was, yeah, that's what I
which,
thought.
Like, was, you can find that on YouTube.
Absolutely. Yeah. During the final run-throughs of the final show, they have a mock winner. And as the credits, quote-unquote, roll, Anke decided to sing along with the song that had won the mock televoting, which in that
which
case was Mika Newton's Angel for Ukraine, which was the first iteration of everybody's favorite sand artist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I remember that.
So she decided to riff and sing an improvised song about sand to the tune of Angel. And you can find this on YouTube, and this is completely off the cuff.
Oh, God, this sounds spectacular.
Really,
it's pretty hilarious.
It's fantastic. I mean, Anke is brilliant.
Can I change my vote?
No.
I'm not going to. I just want to know if I can.
You can?
Okay, well, I won't.
Well, we carved this into stone.
Oh,
already.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's tattooed on my back.
All right, Eric, who's your choice? Because it's both Derek's and mine.
Oh, it's Monson Petra.
It's Monson Petra, yeah.
2016.
They're beautiful.
They
gave us so much.
Yeah, they worked so well together. They were Abbott and and Costello. That's probably not right. They were Bonnie and Clyde. No, I don't know what they were, but they were fantastic.
Fred and Joni and Chachi.
Fred and Ginger?
Sure.
Joni and Chachi.
They were fantastic. They worked so well together. It was as if they had been doing this for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which Petra had been.
She had been. Yes.
Yeah. But the two of them had great chemistry together.
Oh, yeah.
They bounced off each other really well. They had really dynamic and fun the whole way through. They kind of felt like you could tell when they were kids, they were great at those little skits they did at summer camp.
The time has come.
The time has come.
They were good at doing what I think is the hardest part of hosting, which is talking to the artists. Mm. Just talking to them for that quick 30 seconds when we're waiting for the next thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is a killer for so many hosts, and they did it flawlessly every single time. It was like they knew all of these people. It was effortless.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure to watch finally.
Mm-hmm. They were fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And they're in a relaxed song.
Oh, yes.
One of the best.
Yes. Yeah.
We might be talking about that as well. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So.
All right. So let's flip this on its head a little bit. Now that we talked about the highs, let's focus on the lows. Who do you think were the worst hosts?
Well, Baku.
We don't mean to beat up on Azerbaijan. But...
Well, they should have been better. Anyway, we'll get to that a little bit too.
I'm with you on this, Eric.
The hosts were, they were bad. They were straight up bad. A lot of what they were saying felt unrehearsed, like they'd never read from cue cards before.
In English.
Okay, but like...
Then why didn't they get someone who could read cue cards?
I don't know.
Yeah. This is not an excuse. Maybe you're not saying it's an excuse. Anyway, they were bad, and I don't really have anything to add to that.
Yeah,
they were the host equivalent of their own postcards.
Wow.
Okay.
It was like all of the warmth that we were talking about with Anka and Stefan Raab in 2011, it just kind of turned back to the clinical.
At a clinic you don't want to go
that
to.
That very stilted kind of...
Welcome to Eurovision.
Yeah.
This is all of the songs that we did the Eurovision in. Please do enjoy.
Yeah.
Baku.
Yeah.
Visit our flagpole.
Which, to be fair, I did have to walk by that flagpole twice a day because it was right by the arena.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it cool?
It was huge.
Nice.
It's a big flag. Flappity
flappity. Should have just held it on the flagpole.
It was a really friggin' big flagpole. They probably could have.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway.
Can you imagine Laureen up there, all the way up there on the flagpole?
Flagpole set up.
Ooh.
Yay.
Moving on.
Yeah. What else we got? A few of us, like Derek.
Hi.
Disagree.
A few of us.
Yes.
I count as three people now.
Yeah.
I've been eating a lot of Christmas cookies and drinking a lot of eggnog.
See that.
Tis the season.
Mm-hmm. I know... The Baku guys were really bad. For whatever reason, when this question came up, my immediate thought was Ukraine. They seemed like really nice guys, but they just seemed really poorly rehearsed, and their English wasn't very strong. I really had a hard time understanding them a lot of times, and they were trying to make these jokes, and I'm like, what? And it came together, and they did well, but even then, I felt like there was sort of a knowing incompetence to it. They brought Mons in and did this little skit where he, like, trained them to be good hosts. And I kind of like, okay, you seem almost too aware of what's going on.
Mons, you are not a good teacher. My goodness.
Mons, if only you really did that.
When he came in and they did that little sketch and it turned into like a Rocky training montage thing, we'd like dump buckets of water on him in bed at like 6 a.m, like, okay, time to train. He was so charismatic and fun. And I was like, oh, that's what it's like.
This is what we could have
missed. Miss me, everyone?
Yeah, it kind of made you realize just how much they were struggling.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that because they seem genuinely nice and they were trying their hardest, but it just...
I liked Timur, who was doing a lot of the green room stuff, and because you could tell he's like truly a fan of the show.
Yeah.
That even if he wasn't as great as Mons was, he at least was trying his damnedest to make it work. And he'd done Junior before, so there's experience there. I was also slightly miffed in the year where the concept slogan was Celebrate Diversity.
Mm.
The hosts were three dudes. Just three white dudes.
Yeah.
To be fair, in Ukraine, that is diverse.
Mm-hmm. They had different shades of hair.
That is true.
They were different heights.
They were different heights.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, Sam.
They were the bar graph of hosts.
That's good.
All right, Danny, what about you?
My pick is purely the victim of contrasts. I think it's Austria again. They had great, they had great postcards.
Mm.
And they had the benefit of having Conchita there to do little green room things. But the two hosts in Austria were made of wood.
Three, weren't there?
Yes, three. Sorry.
See, this is what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's like how when people read Pride and Prejudice, they're like, oh, the four Bennet sisters. I'm like, no, there's Mary as well. Yeah, they were very just uninteresting. Whenever they talked with anyone, it was like the awkward girl at the party who asks you a question and all you can just say is sure, and then you turn away and pretend like there's something on your phone. That's what they felt like every time they were talking to someone. They had no personality there except for like the classic like, it is Eurovision, welcome Spain, and that's it. Like that's also my Austrian accent again.
Oh, okay.
Vaguely Middle European.
We've missed it.
Yeah,
well, glad that's sorted. Determined the best and worst hosts.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Oh my goodness, we have got a lot left to do.
We have so much left of this list to get through, guys.
I have to pee. Can we take like a week long pee break?
A week long pee break, I think we can do.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right, I'm gonna pee and then see my family for Christmas, and then we will come back and we'll do more of this.
Okay.
So once again, you can check us out on social media at 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter. Email us at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. Visit us at 12pointsforamerica.com.
There it is.
And it's got a great picture of Danny reacting to seeing I Didn't Know for the first time. And if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what's going to.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.
For now. So no one, like, no one died? No Eurovision people died for us to announce or anything?
Not that I know about.
A solid week without Eurovision
deaths. We did it.
Deaths.
This is the song we sing when no one died.
There's your stinger.
Ta-da!